Experience the musical classics of the East. Mingle with the masters of Chinese music.
我的这种美召唤的女性。
因为蒙古民族被称为马背民族。
小小二胡。
Music talks. Witness the sound of antiquity and modernity.
Music speaks in different ways. Welcome to a special edition of Music Talks. I'm Xing Yu. In April of 2024,The National Center for the Performing Arts in Beijing, China, presented German composer Richard Wagner's enduring and epic opera, The Flying Dutchman. In this podcast, we'll talk to the conductor of the opera, bass baritone, and the Chinese director of the National Center for the Performing Arts about their experiences on stage. Let's dive into the world of Wagner's timeless masterpiece,
A ghost ship with haunting red sails glides across the boundless ocean. Its captain, a Dutchman, bound to an eternal curse. A demonic force has condemned him to wander the seas indefinitely without hope of release. The Dutchman is allowed to go ashore only once every 7 years, and during this time, he must seek out a woman whose unwavering love can break the curse and bring him salvation.This mysterious tale unfolds in Richard Wagner's timeless opera, The Flying Dutchman, or Der Fliegende Holländer. When the Dutchman arrives on land, he encounters Santa, a young woman with a strong will and a fascination with the legend of the Flying Dutchman. Santa faces a choice between her love for the Dutchman and her prior engagement to another man. Ultimately,It is Santa's determination and sacrifice that offer the Dutchman a chance at redemption. From April the 10th to 14th, 2024, the National Center for the Performing Arts, or NCPA, in Beijing, China, presented this enduring opera for the third time. The production received enormous acclaim from Chinese audiences for its spectacular stage design and masterful performances.Hello, I'm Yingying. Welcome to NCPA On Stage, where we explore the stunning performances taking place on the NCPA stage. Today, we're diving into the world of Wagner's timeless opera, The Flying Dutchman, and exploring NCPA's latest production of this haunting tale. Joining me in the studio are esteemed guests from The Flying Dutchman, Mr. Markus Bosch, the conductor,Mr. Olli Sigurdarson, the bass baritone who plays the Dutchman, and Ms. Wei Lan Fen, director of the production department of NCPA. Welcome and congratulations on your great success.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I've seen a lot of positive comments and praise on social media these days. So, Mr. Bosch, as a conductor from Germany, the homeland of Wagner, did you enjoy performing at the NCPA for the first time?
Yeah, it was great and wonderful experience to be here and to make really an international standard Wagner. So I'm really was joyful also with the international colleagues, but also very special with the Chinese colleagues on a very high standard. And I think we did really a high international standard production. And I enjoy this level and enjoy the orchestra.Also the chorus, the very lively and motivated. That was very nice experience.
Ms. Sigurdarson, I know it is also the first time you have cooperated with NCPA and Mr. Bosch. So how did you feel about this experience?
Well, I can only second what Maestro Bosch just said. It's been a fantastic experience for me, and I was getting the offer to come to China to sing for the first time in my life. It's obviously a big deal, and I come from a small country in the North Atlantic, and I have now managed to sing, for example, the Dutchman in North America, various places in Europe, and now in Asia.I have another one coming up in South America, so I'm very proud to be able to spread my Dutchman across the world. But this has been a fabulous experience, and like any production, it's the coming together of different talents, different nationalities, which makes this job, of course, so special. And I'm meeting Maestro Bosch for the first time. I'm meeting most of the colleagues on stage for the first time, be they Chinese or European. Standard is fantastic. And of course, the NCPA is a dream to work in from a technical point of view and you know, all the facilities. And I can only say the tireless effort of everybody to make us feel good and to make us feel special and make, you know, we are able to do our, hopefully our best work thanks to the good people here.
Okay, you've both conducted and performed the Flying Dutchman with other world-class opera companies. So in your opinion, what makes NCPA's production unique compared to other productions?
I feel the sheer size of the production here. It's like, I feel like a little boy in a toy shop, you know. I feel I'm coming to a world of adventures. It could be Legoland in Europe, you know. And we have two enormous ships on stage. Where else do you get this? You get this maybe at the Metropolitan in New York or at the Paris Opera. This is not something I'm used to from most European stages. So to begin with, just the size of it makes it such fun. I mean, I get to stand on a real ship, and it is fabulous.
Right. Mr. Bosch?
Yes, that's a big part. So to be really in the biggest house in Asia to make this opera. I did it in Deutsche Oper Berlin, I did it in Hamburg State Opera, also big houses. But in Germany we have another kind of regie, and this really bring the title origin to the public, and to look, to create, to really make opera for the public.
So, Ms. Wei, since NCPA first presented the Flying Dutchman in 2012, and this is the third time you have brought this opera back to stage, what are the changes or improvements in this new production?
If I may say there were any change or improvement, I must say, artistically speaking, is the fantastic artists who are sitting next to me. Mr. Bush and Mr. Sigurdsson together, you know, they are the fantastic artists that they join us. I think we are lucky to have them in this shortest notice. Technically speaking, yes, there are something has been proved. As you all see, that we have a real ship on stage. But behind the ship, there are four projectors to project the image, the wave of the sea. And we change the projectors. Of course, the technique has been developed. Mm-hmm. And 10 years ago, let's say 12 years ago, when we did Hollander the first time, we used the 20,000 lumens projectors. And frankly speaking, it's a little bit darker. And so sometimes the audience cannot recognize the sea in a very obvious way. But this time, everyone can feel the ship, the real ship, more like they are on the real sea. That we take the benefits of the new projector. Now it's 40,000 lumens projection.
Mm. Oh, it's really that you mean you are seasick when you are in the, when I,
yes.
when I look to the stage,
yes,
a
think
long time, you have the feeling you become seasick.
Yes, I think we took the benefit from the new projectors, so which make all the scenery in a more real way. That's why my show has this feeling like when the audience see, especially the first act, it really more close to the original scenery, more close to the nature.
Let's move to another topic about Wagner. Mr. Sigurdsson, you know, many audience members posted comments on social media saying that they love your voice and praised you as having the true voice of a Wagnerian bass baritone. So can you tell us what is a Wagnerian bass baritone? And what are the challenges, you know, Wagner's music presents for singers?
Well, Wagner certainly gives us a lot of work to do, that's for sure.
Right.
I think I have been very, very lucky in recent years to have been working at the Bayreuth Wagner Festival in Germany, where I have been working with, of course, many of the top colleagues we call the Wagner Fach, or the world of Wagner. And I'm talking conductors, musical trainers, if you like, or coaches, and of course singing colleagues that you learn from every day during rehearsals, for example. In my case, to begin with, it just took time to be ready to start singing Wagner. I sang my first Wagner role when I was almost 40. So I think I was 39, in fact, when I sang the role of Telramund in Lohengrin for the first time. And gradually, when I started getting more and more opportunities singing Wagner. And so I think in my case, it's been a rather healthy development. The key to surviving a Wagner role is to, I think, respect what he wrote. You need fantastic leadership, like in Maestro Bosch. You need a great team to help you navigate through any Wagner role, like the Flying Dutchman. But it is first and foremost as healthy singing as possible, not trying to manipulate or fake anything. And then it's text, text, and text. That is a key feature in delivering Wagner, because as most people will know, Wagner also wrote the libretto or the text to his own music. This is no less a delivery of text and poetry and storytelling, if you like. If you are instinctively good at storytelling, telling stories, delivering stories, that's a great asset to have for any Wagner singer, because that carries the piece forward. Then there are, of course, there are some phrases that are notoriously difficult. Sometimes on you can have a good night and you can have a bad night. All I can say to finish off is that when you have success with a Wagner role, it's incredibly satisfying, and sometimes you feel like you've climbed a mountain and you feel on top of the world, if you like.
Whoa, fantastic. So, Maestro Bosch, in your opinion, what role does Wagner play in German music history, or even the history of music as a whole? And what aspects of Wagner's operas set them apart from the works of other composers?
I think, first of all, Wagner is in the role of composers a logical point in the history of music. He's the end of a development, and in the same point, a starting for the big film industries. For me, I read Wagner from the past. So a lot of conductors and a lot of fans of Wagner look to Wagner from today back. And the music was manipulated a lot before the Second World War and after to make very heavy German word. But Wagner never heard this music in a heavy way. So the first performance of Wagner, of Hollander, Flying Dutchman, was in Dresden. And there in the pit was 9 first violins and 6 seconds. The orchestra was playing to the stage, yeah, not to the public. Mm-hmm. The orchestra sounds much more piano, much less because the instrument, the beer instrument, they are not so developed. In this time, the musicians of the Dresden Opera driven each month to Paris to look for the new instruments. The French built new instrument that was much louder. So it's our list in Dresden, which musicer tries out the new instrument in the show. So what Wagner heard music of Mendelssohn, he was very jealous about him. Jewish guy has a lot of effort, and it was terrible for him. And he wrapped his music for The Ring, for example. So the beautiful Melusine, the overture of Mendelssohn, it's the beginning of the Rhine, of the Ring, and symbolized the Rhine. And the idea for Wagner, for his whole compositions, it's the part of Freischütz, of the very important opera of Weber. So that means my reading of these things are looked from the point where Wagner has written it. And so I say it because often people said German music, it's heavy, but when we know the times when Wagner conduct for himself, he was always faster than all the conductors after him. So I'm sure my now when you hear the Flying Dutchman today, it's much faster than 12 years ago.
Yes.
Also,
yeah.
Because I read the music from the time of Mozart, Weber, Mendelssohn, and it means that, for example, aria of Daland, it's like a spiel. We say spiel or playing a play, like Mozart Entführung. Mm. Of Serai or something else. So that means the view on that, it's totally different. But the ideas of Wagner came with the mystic German word, and that's the point of view then of the people. They manipulate this, create a new situation later for all the Hollywood stories of Lord of the Ring, of all this famous film things. And so this really the point where art is changing between stage arts to film arts, and I think that's the most important, or one of the important points for Wagner.
Mm. That's a very unique perspective. And Miss Wei, I think the NCPA has brought several Wagner operas to Chinese audiences. In your observation, how Chinese audiences have responded to Wagner's operas over the years?
I think the audience in China, they all love Wagner's operas. Of course, I'm a little bit kidding. I mean, after NCPA's, let's say the education and the cultivating in Wagner's opera, the audience, those opera goers, they understand more about Wagner's opera, and then eventually they love. Let's go back to our journey to Wagner's opera. We started from The Flying Dutchman, which was 12 years ago. After the Flying Dutchman, we do the Lohengrin, and then Tannhäuser, and then the Tristan and Isolde, and then the Meistersinger. So from all the five, you can see we start from the most popular, most easiest understood Wagner opera, then eventually Meistersinger, and then this year we are going to approach Ring Cycle.
That's fantastic.
That's why I see, we have our plan to try to, the plan is together with cultivating the audience and together with the growing up of the production team with all the crew in NCPA.
Mm. Yeah, The Flying Dutchman was the first Wagner opera to be brought to the NCPA stage. So, Miss Wei, why did NCPA choose this opera as the first Wagner opera, to introduce to Chinese audiences? And what was the feedback when it first premiered?
I think, without doubt, if we choose one opera to start Wagner's opera, it will be The Flying Dutchman, because as everyone has heard, it's a very beautiful opera. It's full of melody. But apart from that, The Flying Dutchman is, we can call it like the chorus opera, because it starts from chorus. The male chorus, the female, I mean, of course, Maestro knows well than me. So for us in 2012, our chorus only established like 3 years. For such a young audience, we might give them, you know, let's say more wider vision in seeing opera. We have presented a lot of Verdi and Puccini's Italian opera. So we think we should broaden more different music style for our operas, or for our chorus. That's why we think of The Flying Dutchman as at the first time. Mm-hmm. And like Maestro Bosch said, our chorus, I think you can imagine 12 years ago, they're even younger than now. So the voice, I mean, full of energy, the energy coming from nature. So mm-hmm. which I think will attract the audience more.
Yeah, right. And what challenges have you encountered at first in bringing this opera to the NCPA stage? I think that must be very difficult.
Yes, I think the difficult part is the technical part. Yeah. It's two real ship. For Hollander's ship, it's like 13 meters high and 7 meters wide. So it's unique to put such a huge ship on stage. Apart from that, we also, you know, make the ship can move. At the end, everyone can see the ship goes down. Also, together with the waving of the projection, so everything should be accomplished in a very well way. Otherwise, the audience might think it's too fake. Mm-hmm. If they think it's too fake, then we failed. Mm-hmm. But I think we achieved that.
Mm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That was a very great success. So, Maestro Bosch, in your opinion, what distinguishes The Flying Dutchman from other Wagner operas? And why is The Flying Dutchman one of Wagner's most performed operas worldwide?
So, first, the chorus numbers are very famous. So, what sang by a lot of amateurs. So that was in the time in Germany, they bring the piano score at home and play it at home. So that was the reason that it comes to the people. You have melodies, they stay. And then it was a story. In this time was very useful to make story. They are not, you can not pack it really. Mm-hmm. So the figure of Hollander as ghost, as an man who is not lively, not dead. That was the topic mm-hmm. of the romantic. Mm-hmm. And so we have these operas like Freischütz, like Vampire, and the people was fascinated from these figures. They are not like you and me. They are not part of your life. They are a wish for another life, perhaps, or for another word, not concrete. So it was a symbol for future, for a part of life what we cannot take with our hands. Mm-hmm. So that's a big fascination, and I think that it's staying on, that you cannot say. And that's the same with film, like till today, that films, they play with the concretes and people, they are there or not. And this mixing chorus with a figure like Hollander and with the music, this between nothing and incredibly loud music. So I think till this point of history of opera in Italian the same, so Wagner and Verdi are going together in 3,000 kilometers or 1,500. Yeah, they have both the same aim. They want making opera as an art of all part of arts to bring on stage. This mixture, yeah, this incredible range of nothing, of silence and extremely sound.
that was new and it stays till today. So, and this shocking experiences in your soul, in your ears, and in your eyes, that makes Hollander so fascinating.
Yeah, it's a little bit like a universal concept for us.
Yeah.
Mr. Sigurdarson, you've played many Wagner operas, such as Tannhäuser and The Ring Cycle, as well as others. And what are the challenges of portraying the Dutchman as a bass baritone in this opera? And how do you approach the character's emotional journey throughout the opera?
I think, in my opinion, it's when you start a new production of the Dutchman, of course you have to you start a dialogue with, for example, your conductor, your stage director, and your fellow cast members to try and develop both your own character and his relationship with the other characters in the story. Sometimes you come to a new production with your own ideas about how you want to sing, let's say, how I want to sing my Dutchman, or who I want my Dutchman to be. That may, however, change very, very quickly once you start to collaborate with others. Because, as we say in theatre, acting is all about reacting. Acting is about how you react to other characters that you're talking to or who are speaking to you, etc., etc. I think fundamentally, for the role of the Dutchman, to try to stick to your question, is for me to explore, I think, the humanity inside him. He is, let's say he lives a rather frustrating life. He has got a complicated lifestyle. We could put it that way. Mm-hmm. He's stuck on his ship year after year, you know, decade after decade. And he can't die. Mm-hmm. His ship can't sink. And he is, in English, there's a phrase called Groundhog Day. Is that when you wake up every day to the same situation. And if you do this for 300 years, I think you can get rather bored. So inside the Dutchman, there is still this fire burning of to find a resolution to his cursed life. And I think maybe we all, as human beings, maybe we all have a little something burning inside of us, regardless of what our own life situation is, of wanting sometimes something different. So I find it quite easy to connect, let's say, the Dutchman's or my imaginary feelings to my own. And I come from a nation of sailors, and I'm brought up by the sea. The North Atlantic, which is a very unforgiving piece of water. Mm-hmm. And it's rough and it's cold and it's windy. And sometimes I imagine I'm just back home in Iceland, you know. I think it's this, it's a journey. You try to bring this into what he sings about, what he says, etc., etc., etc. So, it's an endless source of fascination for me. And although I have done quite many different productions now, no two Dutchmans of my own are ever the same, you know. They keep changing, and I get older, and I also change, you know.
Yeah, so, you are the Dutchman yourself.
Well, maybe I should get a Dutch passport, you know, who knows?
So, Miss Wei,
yes.
And the NCBA has been constantly producing Wagner operas over the years. Will you present more new productions in the future? And you already mentioned about The Ring Cycle, right? Can you share any specific plans?
Yes, actually, this year, while we represented the Flying Dutchman and at the beginning of April, because we look at it as a kind of prelude to the Ring Cycle. We hope we can make use of the opportunity representing the more beautiful and more popular title of Wagner than to have the audience attention to realize Wagner is such a great composer. So at the end of this August, we're going to present the Rheingold, the first of the Ring Cycle. And then next year, next May, we will continue to do the Vakula. Next October, we will continue Siegfried. And the year after, which will be 2026, we'll do the last one. If everything goes well, goes smoothly, maybe we will do all the Ring Cycle in the year of 2026. Wow. I mean, from wow. 1, 2, 3, 4.
That's very exciting.
Yes, but it's a very challenging work.
Right.
But the best what you can do.
Yeah. It will be a great Wagner feast for Chinese audiences. Maestro Bosch and Mr. Sigurdsson, you are both veterans in Wagner operas. Do you have any suggestions for NCPA to build on success with Wagner operas and further engage Chinese audiences?
Well, I would just say keep up the good work, you know.
Right.
And I think you're off to a fantastic start. And, you know, this is me personally speaking. I'm sure Maestro agrees with me. Once, when you just dip your finger into Wagner, your hand goes deeper and deeper. It's difficult to turn away. It is such fantastic music and stories and... it's just, you know, everybody come and see Wagner at the NCPA. Just do it.
Yeah, I think the advantage of Wagner is that you can read it like a Hollywood film. You can read it like a comic.
Yes.
The stories are so international, so out from the life in a way, and so crazy in a way that it's filling out for a life. Mm. To see it in different ways, and you need time, and that's one thing for me. It's very special with Wagner when you do Tristan and Isolde, my most beloved opera. You lose the time, and this feeling, it's like sailing. Yeah. So hearing Wagner and sailing is for me pretty similar. Really losing time and not to know where we are in this moment. That's better than any drugs.
Okay, thank you to our guests, Maestro Markus Bosch, Mr. Olli Sigurdsson, and Ms. Wei Lan Fen, for joining us today and sharing your insights into NCPA's The Flying Dutchman. It's been a great pleasure talking with you guys.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
To our listeners, thank you for tuning in. We hope you've enjoyed this behind-the-scenes look at The Flying Dutchman and have gained a deeper appreciation for the music and artistry involved. Stay tuned for more exciting episodes of NCPA On Stage, where we continue to explore the fascinating world of performing arts. Until next time, I'm Yingying. Have a wonderful day.
This podcast is jointly produced by CGTN Radio and the National Center for the Performing Arts. Thank you for listening.